Exodus chapter 2, please. Exodus chapter 2. I am delighted to be able to speak to you one last time here this semester. I've got a burden on my heart that I believe is from the Lord, and I want to be a help to you young people. Question: how many of you are tired? Yeah. It's a busy time of year, no doubt. There's been a lot going on and a lot of energy and effort. And I just want to commend you, young people. I know many commendations have been given. But you young people, I appreciate the heart and spirit with which you have labored. That is an attitude that is highly, highly valuable. To be able to work and labor without complaint, with great attitude, and with all of your energy. And I want to encourage you, don't just do that in a big, fancy production. Do that in your papers to get them in on time. Do that in your dorm room to make your bed. Okay? Do that when you go home, in your home churches. Give yourself with the same gusto and determination and faith, and just have that great willing attitude wherever you are, not just when it's really cool and a lot of people are going to come. So I just wanted to say that I really appreciate you young people and your attitude these last several weeks. And I know it's put a lot on your plate, and I know there's a certain sense in which we kind of take away your straw and ask you to make bricks, right, as far as your time and all of that is concerned. But thank you for turning in your homework anyway, some of you. thank you for keeping your spirits clear. And if you haven't, that's okay. I'll see you at the altar at the end of the message. I do appreciate there is a very real sense in which having a lot to do and a little amount of time to do it is somewhat of real life, and learning to manage even impossible time crunches with a good attitude, looking to the Lord for deliverance, is exactly, I think, a lesson that you all need to learn, and you need to learn to do it well. And so I have something I want to speak to you all here about, and something that I know is going to be a help. Oftentimes, I think we go through life, and in ministry, there are things that are taught and there are things that are caught. And sometimes along the way, we can end up developing, I think, unhealthy balances and misunderstandings in certain matters. And sometimes these imbalances and these misunderstandings are inconsequential. Sometimes maybe this is something that the experience of ministry and maturity will end up sanding off of your life. Sometimes these are things that will end up having minor implications and consequences throughout your life. But there are some matters and some issues that if they are not corrected, if those misunderstandings and imbalances are not challenged and confronted head on, I really believe they will result in untouched potential and infant Christians. What am I speaking about? I want to say this here to start. I am speaking to a group of deliverers. Do you believe that? I am speaking to a group of leaders who are destined to reach the world with the gospel. I'm speaking to a group of people who are destined to lead many to obey God. I am speaking to a group of people who are destined to present those within their influence perfect in Christ Jesus. I am speaking to a group of world changers here in this room. And yet, though each one of you, I believe, have a destiny before God, and I trust you have a sense of destiny. I know there have been some that I've spoken to. I know one particularly asked me at one point, do you ever feel like you are destined by God to make a huge difference in this world? And I love when I hear that. Listen, if you don't have a sense of destiny, if you don't have a sense that God has big things planned for you, you need to spend more time with your God. Because I believe believe every single one of you here in this room is destined by God to do great things for Him. And yet, though each one of you here today have a destiny designed by God, there is a concept, there is this concept of whether you're ready that I believe every servant of the Lord needs to grapple with. Do you know what I mean by that concept of being ready? You're in a stage of preparation right now, which is very, very important. You are preparing for that destiny right now. That's why you're here. Wake up. That's why you're here. You are here to prepare because God has something for you. If you believe that God has great things for you, you're going to do everything you can to be ready to do what God has called you to do. I remember the night in February 2012, I was in Missouri City, Texas. I was standing out on a field with the big ball hoops up, the rope slung over top of it, two big balls outside, my team ready to go, and we were waiting for teenagers to come. And I remember there that night, my very first war that I ever ran, the first time that I was the man at the helm running this thing that God had called me to be a part of. And I remember standing on that field asking myself the question, am I ready for this? I'd spent so long getting ready for it. When the time had come, was I? You know what? Some of you are destined to pastor a church or churches, to shepherd a flock, to reach a local community for Christ. But are you ready for that? Some of you are destined to be a godly wife and raise a godly seed and manage a home and cook and clean. But are you ready for that? Some of you are destined to travel and preach the gospel to tens of thousands. But are you ready for that? Some of you are destined to go to foreign lands, translate scripture into new languages, and reach entire cultures for Christ. But are you ready? It's my fear that a misunderstanding of this concept of readiness has held back many from doing what God has called them to do and has resulted in passive Christians, infant believers, and untouched potential. What do I mean by misunderstandings? What do I mean by that? Let me say these a few things here, and you're welcome to write some of these down. Being ready doesn't mean you're perfect. If you wait till the day you're perfect, you'll never be ready. Being ready doesn't mean you feel ready. I'll be honest with you, first time you do anything, you aren't going to feel ready. You aren't going to feel ready. Being ready doesn't mean you know everything. Life is it's a lifelong pursuit of learning and continual improvement. Being ready doesn't mean you're experienced. You know that funny adage, if you want to get a job, you need experience, but how are you going to get experience unless you get a job? You know what I'm talking about? Think about this. You're never going to be ready to lead a ministry by experience. Because listen, how are you going to be the man leading a ministry unless you be ready to be a man leading the ministry unless you are the man leading the ministry? How do you get ready to be a dad? Be a dad. How do you get ready to be a husband? Well, yeah, sure, grow, have your devotions, etc. But there's nothing that prepares you for being a husband like becoming a husband, okay? Being ready doesn't mean that you're an expert on this thing or that thing. Being ready doesn't mean you're ready for every possible thing that could happen. Being ready doesn't mean even that everyone around you thinks that you are ready. Listen, I think that sometimes, let me say this. There's two sides to this here. If you think you're ready and you're not, you'll make a mess of things. If you don't think you're ready when you are, you won't obey God. And this tension is very, very important to keep in mind. So what does it mean to be ready? I'm going to give you a definition. You're not going to be able to keep up with writing it down, but you're welcome to try. To be ready means that you are adequately prepared and in the proper place, time, and frame of mind to do what you're supposed to do in the immediate future. To be ready is to be in a place where you are truly able to fulfill your God-given destiny. I asked you to turn to Exodus chapter 2, and I know we've heard a lot about this man over the last couple years, but I just couldn't get my heart away from this passage. In Exodus chapter 2, if you know your Bible and your chapter content, this here is speaking about the entrance of Moses onto the scene of the history of the nation of Israel. You see, Moses was a man of destiny. He was to be the deliverer of Israel. You know this. That's why he was born. That's why his life was preserved. And yet Moses was also a man who had to grapple with this matter of readiness. Look at verse 11 with me here in Exodus chapter 2. I'm not going to go into all the details surrounding his birth or his preservation or even the fact that he was taken by Pharaoh's daughter. But when we look at verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown." Let me pause right here and just say this. Moses had, we believe, very likely all kinds of things going for him. Okay? He was of the right people. He was a child of Israel. Again, he had an opportunity to have a godly upbringing, even though his life had been preserved and he was technically the adopted daughter of Pharaoh's daughter. Because of his relationship with Pharaoh's daughter, he likely had an unbelievable secular education, had all kinds of things that had been trained into him as far as the education that was available at that time. It is very likely that he had the best, the cutting edge techniques, the greatest amount of knowledge and skills that a son of the daughter of Pharaoh would have received there at that time in history. He had it all going for him. Also, he knew why he was there. Hebrews 11 tells us that there were a number of things that he did by faith. I think his parents knew that God preserved him for a purpose. And what influence they had upon him, I believe that they, through their words of affirmation, told their son, "You were born and preserved for a purpose. And we believe that God is going to use you in your unique position to deliver our people from this bondage and this slavery." He had a sense of calling, I believe, definitely had a burden for his people. As we look at verse number 11, it said, "And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." Get this. He had a sense of destiny. He knew God had called him for great things. He knew, I believe, that he was to be a deliverer in Israel. And I think many of us grow up with a sense of calling, a sense of destiny. We know that God has great things for us. And there comes a moment in time where we want to do something about it. And if we're not ready, we mess things up. We mess things up majorly. See, he wasn't ready. His fledgling, premature, immature action hurt people. It hurt his influence, and it hurt his confidence. We see here it said, "And he went out the second day, and behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, 'Wherefore smitest thy fellow?' And he said, 'Who made thee prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?' And Moses feared and said, 'Surely this thing is no.'" Here he lost his influence because he prematurely, immaturely tried to fulfill his destiny when he wasn't ready. It hurt things. It made a mess of things. Because of his failure, he fled and found himself traumatized in the wilderness. Verse 15, when Pharaoh heard this, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And we find the story of him encountering Jethro's daughters and so on. I'm not going to go into all of that. You see, it's clear that he wasn't ready, right? Is that not clear from this passage? I want you to know my burden here today is not so much the not ready side of things. And yet I found as I was dwelling on this and preparing on this, you cannot ignore the fact that there are some times and some things that we are not ready to do. And if we press forward and try to do something that perhaps we are destined to do, but when we're not ready, it does make a mess of things. And I think rightly, one of our burdens here this ministry is to make sure you are ready so that you don't prematurely, immaturely make a mess of what God has called you to do. But what does it mean that he wasn't ready here in this story? Because I think sometimes we look at that and we think, I'm not even going to try to do anything, right? We look at that and our fear is so great inside and we just think, oh, I don't want to make a mess like that. So I'm going to just wait till I'm ready someday, one day, over the rainbow. And we develop a hesitation. We develop a fear. We develop a mindset that is what I'm preaching against here today. But yet we do need to grapple with the fact that he wasn't ready. What does it mean that he wasn't ready? Was he unready because he was untrained? No. He had the best training available. Was he unready because he was immature? Maybe. Was he unready because he was proud? Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't. I can't say definitively whether he was immature. I cannot say definitively whether he was proud. That could well be. But what I can say with some confidence is that he was unready because it wasn't the right time yet. And he was unready because he hadn't met with God yet. Listen, being brought up in a good home doesn't mean you've met with God. Being in an amazing environment doesn't mean you have met with God yet. Listen, just because you have a sense of destiny doesn't mean it's time yet. You see, his sense of destiny was spot on. And by the way, people, if you have a sense of destiny, don't you ever let go of it. I see far too many people let go of their God-given sense of destiny. See, but his focus was on the wrong thing to make him ready. Perhaps he thought his talent made him ready. Perhaps he thought his position made him ready. Perhaps he thought his burden made him ready. Perhaps he thought his education made him ready. Perhaps he thought his desire made him ready. Whatever he thought made him ready didn't. You see, he was called to be a deliverer, that is for sure. But whatever he thought made him ready evidently didn't make him ready because he wasn't ready. Let's fast forward. I want to take a look a little bit later on in his life because obviously there came a time when he was ready. Verse number 21, here we find him in this land, in this wilderness here. It says in verse 21, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, that would be Jethro, and he, Jethro, gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. I just want to pause there. One of the reasons why I read this is I find sometimes when someone prematurely tries to fulfill their destiny before the time or before they've truly met with God, what can happen is they get traumatized and they just settle down. And they just begin to exist. And they just begin to get a job and do the thing and raise a family and just live. They buy the house. They put their roots down. They just begin to do the thing, and one day turns into another day and turns into another day. And I believe what begins to happen is they begin to lose that sense of destiny, which at one time in their youth was crystal clear right before their eyes. They wanted to fulfill that sense of destiny, but because they tried and failed, they begin to wonder whether it was just a dream. They begin to wonder whether it truly was from God, or whether it was just youthful optimism. And I want you to know, one of the greatest enemies that I've observed to truly fulfilling your destiny and being ready to do what God has called you to do is this fear of failure again. And so instead, we just decide, I'll just settle down. I'll just live for what I know I can do. Well, thankfully, God was about to intervene. Verse 23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. You see, even while Moses was traumatized in the wilderness, and it is argued that yes, there was preparation there, but he was not fulfilling his destiny, whether it's because it wasn't time, he hadn't met with God, he wasn't ready yet, but even during that time, God was moving. God was working. God was up to something. Chapter 3, verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came unto the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Listen, friends, I believe in order for a man or woman to be ready to fulfill their destiny, they must turn aside to meet with God. You must stand upon that holy ground where God speaks, not to your fathers or your father's father, but where God speaks to you. You must worship. You must listen. And you must, in that holy setting, say, here I am. And see, Moses here, he did make a choice to turn aside. Was it out of curiosity? Probably. And yet he found himself standing face to face, mano a mano, with God himself. And listen, young people, let me tell you, I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of preparation for the destiny that God has called you to fulfill. But if you do not carve time out of your schedule to turn aside and meet with God, you will not be ready. I don't care what your GPA is. Listen, you can be so busy serving God, you don't meet with God. You can be so busy working for God, you don't stand before the holy bush. You don't say, here I am. You say, God, I'm too busy for this. I'll see you later. listen, I know what the temptation is. I think I even heard perhaps Pastor mention this. I don't remember. Somebody mentioned this. Yes, it's a time of busyness. I understand that. But if you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Something's got to give. Something's got to give. Because, friends, you can prepare your brain and not meet with God. You can prepare in your knowledge and turn all your papers in on time and not meet with God. You can make amazing websites, right, class, and not meet with God. You can parse every verb just right and not meet with God. He met with God here, verse number 7. God, the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt and have heard their cry. God cares for the needs of the world. That didn't change. That doesn't change. That never changes. By reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. God knows the needs of the multitudes. God knows the needs of his people. God knows the needs of the world around, and God is burdened about it. And you know what? You fit into God's plan. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. When are you ready? I'll tell you when you're ready. You're ready when God says you're ready. Did you hear me? You know what God was saying right here? Moses, it's time. Moses, you're ready. You know who didn't say he was ready? Jethro. Definitely not Pharaoh. It wasn't his mommy or his daddy. It was God. It wasn't his room leader that said he was ready, or his dean. It wasn't his pastor that said he was ready. God is the one who spoke to him out of the burning bush and said, Moses, the time has come for me to use you. God is the one who tells you you're ready. Now, am I saying that we ought to ignore all of the people around us? Am I saying that if we have a sense that God is telling us to do something and someone says, that we should say, oh, you can just be quiet. I've heard from God. No, that's pride, and God resists the proud, okay? And chances are these individuals who may be stepping into your life trying to help you see something that you don't, but they don't see anything that God doesn't see. Do you hear me? Why did it all of a sudden get tense in the room? Young people, God knows you. I spoke about this earlier in the semester, October 4th. Look up the sermon. God can lead you. God is the perfect mediator to know you and how you can understand his leading. And God is able to lead you. Listen, he's in front of you. He's behind you. He's to the right of you, the left of you. I'm not going to re-preach that whole sermon again. There's a lot God's been doing in my heart. But God knows how you think. He knows your mental deficiencies. He knows how you receive input, how you process it, how you understand it. And God is able to communicate his will to you in a way that you can understand. And when God says you're ready, you're ready. Ready for what? Ready for something in your immediate future. Okay? When God says you're ready for marriage, you're ready for marriage. When God says you're ready to preach, you're ready to preach. When God says you're ready to launch, you're ready to launch. When God says you're ready to go, you're ready to go. Here, at this point in time, Moses had so, I believe, lost his sense of destiny that he questioned God's call. Again, I don't have time to go through all that was said here, but in verse number 11, Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" You can look at it this from two different directions. You can look at it and think, finally, Moses, you realized you weren't the answer, and you're humble. And you know what? God does want humble servants. God does want those who recognize, I am not the solution. God is the solution for this world. And you look at Moses' continuing responses here, you see incredible patience from the part of God, but you also begin to see this is not just humility going on here. This is not just a proper sense of his perspective upon himself. In fact, verse 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" He's like, what am I supposed to say? I don't know what to say. You jump down to chapter 4, verse number 1, and Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." He says, it's not going to work, God. Moses is telling God that it's not going to work. The elders won't listen. That's what he's saying. I know what you're saying, but I don't think they'll know what you're saying. Jump down to verse 10, and Moses said unto the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." You know what he's saying? I'm not ready, God. I can't do what you're calling me to do. And again, there's a good perspective on that, and there's a bad perspective on that. The good side is he wasn't going to depend on his tongue or his eloquence, that's for sure. He knew that he did not have what it took, and that is good. But there's also another subtle sense in which if you think you're not ready when God says you're ready, that's not right. Are you following me? How do I know that this was an unhealthy sense of unreadiness? Verse 13. And he said, chapter 4, verse 13, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." In other words, you got the wrong guy, God. Send somebody else. When you say to God, "I'll pass," you have fallen into the trap that I'm talking about. You have fallen into this trap of a misunderstanding of what it means to be ready. You have fallen into the trap of so being down on your readiness that when God himself says you are ready, you argue with God. Listen, it's not. The real point isn't whether you are ready. It's whether he is ready to use you. It's not about whether you're prepared. It's whether you're prepared to believe God for miracles. Listen, young people, I'm going to tell you this. You'll never be ready until you're willing to listen to God. You will never be ready until you're willing to turn aside and actually open your ears and listen to what God is saying to you. And listen with a full heart. Not listen and say, "I got to check this by somebody else." You need to be willing to listen to God. Moses didn't run it by Jethro that we see recorded here in the scripture. Listen, you'll never be ready until you surrender to God. When God says go, you say yes, sir. When God says speak, you say, "What do you want me to say?" When God says get up, you get up. You'll never be ready until you believe God. You'll never be ready until you obey God. Listen, can I say this? If your focus is on your education or your ability, you're not ready. If your focus is on anything that you can do, you will fail. I can't tell you how many times in life and ministry you encounter impossible situations. And here's the thing. If you have been looking to your education, your talent, your resourcefulness, your ability, some trick you learned in college to make it happen, and you try and fail in some way, guess what? You'll never try again. Because it didn't work. But if you recognize that when God says you're ready and you listen and yield to Him and surrender to Him, guess what? God makes you ready. Your mentors don't make you ready. Oh, don't get me wrong. Their part in your life is important. Their part in your life is to make sure those character deficiencies that will keep you from believing God are ironed out, are sanded off of the hard edges of your life. Don't get me wrong. They want to help you with your attitudes that are going to hurt you later on. I'm not trying to diminish or dismiss them, but I want you to know your mentors, as much as their desire is to present you perfect in Christ Jesus, they can't make you ready. Only God can. And if you look to people to make you ready, you will never be ready. Please catch the knife edge I'm trying to get here. I don't want any of you saying, I don't need to fill out that dumb mentorship form because God will make me ready, okay? That's dumb, okay? But who are you looking to make you ready? Who are you looking to? Listen, you need to take ownership of your readiness. And in taking ownership of your readiness, you must get with God. And God is the one who makes you ready, and God's the one who tells you're ready. Listen, I got just a couple of other thoughts here that I want to give. There's nothing like actually doing to make you ready to do. I wasn't ready to be a parent when I became a parent, but there's nothing like parenting to make you ready to parent. I wasn't really ready for evangelism when I started evangelism, but there's nothing like evangelism to make you ready for evangelism because it forces you to seek God. But if you hold back and if you put your perceived readiness before obeying God, you will actually never become ready because you never step out of the boat to do what God has called you to do, which is the only thing that will cause you to be ready to do. Are you following me here? If you don't ever try independence on the Lord, you will never succeed with God's help. You know what happens when you tell yourself you're not ready and you never step out of the boat? And when you wait on your readiness before you do the thing that will actually make you ready, you will find yourself in a perpetual state of spiritual infancy. Constantly looking for that thing that will make you ready. Constantly waiting for somebody to say, you're ready. You see, one of my burdens here today is I see young people who are destined to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. But for one reason or another, what can happen is even though you're in a time of preparation, it can become perpetual preparation, where you never reach the point where you are actually ready to do. And when you run out of classes to take and tuition to pay, then you just move on to the next thing and you settle down and have a Gershom, okay? Or 15 of them, right? And weeks turn into years, which turn into decades. And you find yourself 15 years after graduation not having done what you were destined to do because you were waiting. Because you were waiting. I've seen it happen far too many times, and I am bound and determined that it not happen with this group of students here in this room. You will never be ready until God says you're ready and He makes you ready. And the way He makes you ready is when He speaks. You take a step of faith and you obey Him. And when you step out in faith, God makes you ready to do all that He's called you to do. Again, I'm trying to deal with a bit of a tricky balance here, and yet hear me out. I don't want to see a single one of you 15 years from now not doing what God has destined you to do.